please, to 1 John chapter number 4. 1 John chapter number 4. The title of the message tonight is Trying the Spirits. And that doesn't mean tasting some liquor either. That's 1 John chapter 4, beginning in verse number 1. The Bible says, Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they be of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God, and every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already it is in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome him, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome him, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Amen. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. And we'll stop our reading there. Father, I thank you today that you love us. I thank you, Lord, for this book, for this place. Thank you, Lord, it's dry here. And Lord, it's warm or cool as we desire because of your goodness to us. And Lord, we ask you tonight to take this meeting place and hallow it, Lord. Make it a special place, a place dedicated to you. For this time, I pray, Father, that you'd receive special glory from the heart of everyone that's here. I believe, Lord, at some time or another, each one that is here tonight has told me of their personal relationship with Jesus Christ. I thank you for that. And I pray tonight that you'd build into us, Lord, some warnings and some protections and some thinking. And Lord, that you'd work in our hearts and our lives for your honor and your glory tonight, I pray in Jesus' name, amen. So far in this epistle, we've seen John discuss what our relationship ought to be in regards to several things. We want to walk through from chapter 1 just a little bit and notice some of these things. He talks about our relationship and what it should be with God himself in chapter 1, beginning in verse number 5. The Bible says, if we say we have fellowship, verse 5, this then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. You know, that's a very revealing portion of Scripture when you witness to people and they're living like the devil and you try to talk to them and they want to continue to insist that they know the Lord and they're right with him. Those verses shed a lot of light on that type of a situation, and I think we ought to know that. In chapter 2, we find he talks to us about our relationship and what it should be with the Lord Jesus. He says, beginning in verse number 3, hereby we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. And then he talks to us in chapter 2 and verse number 15 about our relationship with the world. He says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. He talks about our relation to sin in chapter 3, beginning in verse number 4. The Bible says, whosoever committeth sin transgresses also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. And you know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. He talks in chapter 3, in verse number 11, he talks about our relationship with one another. The Bible says, for this is the message that we have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. And as we look at this portion of Scripture that we read, he's talking about our relationship with false prophets. Now, you won't be in this very long before you realize that in 1 John He speaks a lot about love of the brother and love of the Lord's love for us and those types of things. He mentions just that phrase, beloved. He uses that a number of times, and I was led, I think, of the Lord to take note of that, and I have that here. 1 John chapter 3 and verse number 2, he says, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. In chapter 3 and verse number 21, he says, beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. In chapter 4 and verse 1, we read, the Bible says, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. In chapter 4 and verse 7, he says, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. And then in verse number 11 of chapter 4, he says, beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. And so as we look through this portion of Scripture, we find that he talks much, he mentions much about love, and he uses that catchphrase, beloved, kind of a nickname for people that he's close to, and he wants us to know, God wants us to know, and John wants us to know of his special care for us and his concern for us. Now, right here in the middle of this, he stops and says, listen, I want to teach you something about these false prophets. And as I was thinking about that, I got to thinking about what I know about them, and I don't know everything that there is to know about them, I'm sure. But I know this. I know that a lot of false prophets talk a lot about love. And they'll just talk about how the love is supposed to ooze from you, and it doesn't matter what anybody does. It doesn't matter what anybody says. You're supposed to respond to them in almost a romantic way. Now we are supposed to love them. And what they do ought not to alter the fact that we love them. But it can alter the fact how we show our love and display our love to them and so forth. And I think there's a connection between those two. And we know that the cults and so forth talk a lot about love, but it's not Bible love. Bible love is giving to meet a need. If you don't know Jesus, it's going to be difficult for you to give to meet the spiritual need in a person's life. Now, he tells us here in verse number 1 that we're to try the spirits. And he says in verse number 1, believe not every spirit. Now, the Bible says we're not supposed to believe everything we hear. We're not supposed to believe everything that people claim to tell, or the claims that people make to us about the Lord, and it would be foolish to even think that we ought to, but yet it seems like John, led of God, seems like he feels a need to tell us that. We would be in a constant state of confusion if we believed everything that came down the pike, because we'd be believing one thing one time, and the next time we'd have to change our belief because he says something different, and then we'd go somewhere else and say something, find somebody that says something different. And as I was working on the message, I began to think about a church that's in the area of Fort Collins. It's called a Federated Church, and it has a long history. It goes back, actually, I think the start of it was before the 1900s and the late 1800s, and as Wellington was a town, it began to grow, and it had prominent thing in history. At one time, Wellington was the only town in northern Fort Collins that sold liquor. What a testimony. What a good thing. What a thing to be known of. What a shame. Amen. But 5 different churches were attempting to start in this town of about that time, about 500 people. And it seemed like none of them could rise up to the place where they could pay a pastor full time. So each of them had a circuit rider that would come in. And some of the people began to realize that when the circuit rider was at this church, folk from these churches would go there. And when the circuit rider was here, some of them would come over here. And it seemed like they'd ebb and flow wherever the circuit riding preacher was. Didn't make much difference what kind it was. And so they did that. They started the church. And started these 5 churches, and And somebody got together and they said, well, let's, some bodies, I guess it should say, I should say, got together and said, let's do this. Let's put all of our churches together and we'll get one pastor. We'll hire one pastor. That's a bad term to use when you're thinking about a pastor. Pastors are not supposed to be hired. They're supposed to be called of God. And they said, we'll hire one pastor and we'll build one church and we'll have that one church. And of course, they never decided much about what they were going to do about doctrine. And so, as they got all together, they had their articles of incorporation. It doesn't say much about their articles of doctrine or anything that they believe, but talked about their articles of incorporation. And these five churches put together had one pastor in one building, and so they've been growing since then. Well, we had a lady come to our church, and she said, I'm interested in church membership of your church. That church is off the rails. That church is crazy. That church is teaching things it ought not to teach. And said, for an example, when Pastor so-and-so was there, they baptized everyone by immersion. When he left and Pastor so-and-so came, they baptized everyone by sprinkling. When he left and someone else came, they either went back to immersion or they started pouring. And they've had all three different kinds in the time that this lady was associated with this church. And she said, I don't know exactly which one of those is right, but I know that all three can't be right. So she was smart enough to know that. And I said, well, we would welcome you to come and you can visit with us and you can attend with us. She said, no, I want to join. And I said, no, I think it'd probably be better knowing where you came from and your background and everything. It probably would be better if you visited for a while. And she said, well, what are you going to teach me that I don't already know? You reckon I could teach you something you don't already know? I think accidentally, once in a while, we're going to teach you something that you don't already know. And I said, well, ma'am, you can join our church probably, but one of the things you're going to have to do is be baptized. She said, well, I was baptized in that church by immersion. And I said, the problem is that's not a church. Because a church doesn't change its doctrine every time they change the pastor and do something different every time the pastor changes. They don't do that. They know what they believe and they stick with what they believe. And she said, you want me to submit to baptism to you? I said, no, ma'am, to the Lord. She said, well, I won't see you again. She got all kinds of angry. Her husband, who hadn't been in church for years, was starting to come. Her boy, who told her that she could go to the devil one time and said she was probably lost, he started coming. And when Mama pitched a fit and kicked over the traces, they both quit coming. And so it is that it just incites a whole bunch of confusion. And when she left our church, anyone want to take a guess where she went to church at? She went back to the Confederate church that she thought was terrible until somebody questioned her doctrine. We need to know what we believe, and we need to know how to test the spirits. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse number 33, for God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. Now the Bible says we're to try the spirits whether they are of God. The word try means to examine, it means to prove, it means to scrutinize, it means to test, it means to examine, if you please, and to see whether a thing is genuine or not. I wish sometime that you'd take time to try the spirit of Bethel Baptist Church, because it's either right or it's wrong. There's no middle of the road. And so we need to understand that, and we need to be people who know how to try the spirit. Diamonds are tried, aren't they? You know, they take a diamond and, what is it, 3 C's or 5 C's or, I'm not sure, cut, clarity, color. Maybe it's 3 C's. Cut, clarity, color. And I don't know what the other one is. I haven't had enough experience with diamonds, I guess. And no, Mama. Whenever we talk about diamonds, the word no just happened to come up. I don't know why that is, but diamonds are tried. They check them out to see their hardness, and they check them out to check their clarity and their color and what cuts on them and everything. And then some of you young men that are in school still, do our students ever try? Do students ever get a test? Why, certainly. We test students all the time, and we need to understand the importance of testing things, and need to understand the importance of testing and trying prophets also. So we don't just accept what a teacher or a preacher has to say. We examine what's being taught. We look at it compared to the Word of God. We look at it compared to history and check and see if it's what it's supposed to be. Now, those who had this attitude of checking things out, being resourceful and looking at things, looking over things, not just accepting it because the music was loud or because they gave me a love offering there or because they have super fellowships or it's an easy place to get to, or we need to check out and know what it's about. And people who have done that historically and biblically were recommended for that. In Acts chapter 17 and verse number 11, the Bible says of the Bereans that these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether these things were so. And then in the book of Ephesians, the Bible says, of the church of Ephesus, in the book of Revelation chapter 2 and verse number 2, God says, I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and has tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and has found them liars. And so we find that God recommends these people that are willing to check things out. And let me just say this to you tonight. The truth doesn't mind being examined. In fact, the more you examine the truth, the more precious it'll become to you. The more you examine the truth, the easier it will be for you to recommend it to someone else. And so truth does not mind at all being examined. And listen, a teacher who is afraid of the word why, how come, when, and all those kinds of words ought to really be checking their own system of belief out, because the truth doesn't mind being checked out. It's the person that's speaking is the one who's afraid to be checked out. The Bible says we are to do this because many false prophets are gone out into the world. I wonder if today in 2019 there are more or less false prophets than there were when John wrote this portion of Scripture. I would say probably more. And the Bible says at this time there were many prophets gone out, false prophets gone out into the world. And this is the reason we are to try the spirits. Now, others warned us about, besides just John here, others had warned us about false prophets. The Lord Jesus in Matthew chapter 7, verse number 15 said, beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravening wolves. And then the Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians 11, verse number 13, for such are false prophets, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. And then we find that Peter spoke about this too when he said, but there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall also be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of, and through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. Stop and think about it. A false prophet, the Bible says, wants to make merchandise out of you. How do you like that? That ought to cause us to get into the book right there. Well, there's a couple of tests that John gives us right here in our text that we can use to check out what the spirit of a church is. In verses 2, 3, and 6, we need to ask ourselves the question, do they confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh? Some people deny that Jesus actually came in the flesh. They deny that God is the Son of God, that He's really the God the Son. They deny the deity of Christ and the appearing of Christ. They deny the sacrificial death of Christ. They deny the resurrection of Christ, the ascension of Christ, and they're certainly hoping that he's not coming again. They deny the doctrines of Christ, and if they deny the doctrine of Christ, they're a false prophet. The Bible says in 2 John, verse 7, it says, "For many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist." And the doctrines of, when they don't believe in the doctrines of Christ, they lead people the wrong way. Their doctrines go the wrong way, absolutely. And those who would teach such falsehood are not led by the Spirit of the Lord, not by the Spirit of God, but to possess the spirit of the Antichrist. And so, if you move from this place, and incidentally, that would be the only reason you ought to be searching for a new church, is if you move from this place. Especially unless you make an appointment and talk to whoever it is that offended you, or whoever it is that you want to offend, or the pastor, or pastor's wife, or somebody else. Gone almost is the doctrine of reconciliation. Gone almost anymore is the doctrine of sit down and talk to people. Let's get things together. Let's agree on what the Bible says and sit down and talk. And going from church to church to church to church is not the way to convince people that the doctrine of Christ and the doctrines that you believe and hold to are worth anything. So we need to understand that the doctrine of Christ, you go you out visiting grandma, or you go somewhere on vacation and you go to church, and certainly you always go to church on Sundays especially, don't you, when you're out on vacation or visiting grandma? You always do that, don't you? You ought to, amen. I mean, it's not just the Lord's Day when you're in Charles County. It's the Lord's Day. It's the Lord's Day, amen. And it's not always easy to find a church of like faith and practice, but we ought to plan our visits around those types of things. I've told people often, if you go somewhere where there's not, if you move somewhere where there's not a fundamental Bible-believing Baptist church, then one of two things is absolutely, positively a situation. Number one, either God didn't lead you there at all, or God did lead you there to start a church. That's the only reason a believer ought to ever find himself in a place where there isn't a fundamental Baptist church. Either God didn't lead them there, or God led them there to start a church. One of the two. I think of Brother Beecham. Brother Beecham joined our church when I was pastoring in Johnson, Kansas. He was a wheat farmer and well-to-do and loved the Lord. And he came to church and visited us, and I went out and visited him and standing in a wheat field with him and asked him if I could pray before I left, and I started praying. He pulled me down beside him, put his arm around me. He continued to pray when I quit, and we just became real close friends. And he moved to Stanton County, Kansas from somewhere back east. He bought a bunch of land. He took a train into Dodge City and then got a wagon to take him down to Stanton County, and he looked at a piece of property, bought the property, began to buy machinery and everything, and then he says, church, church. And he didn't have a church. So he started going to the Methodist church, and for a number of years he went there. Regular. He went to the Methodist church. Never heard the gospel there. Never heard a missions message there. Never saw a scriptural baptism there. Never read the right Bible when he read their pew Bible. Just all kinds of problems. And after he visited our church, he came and he said, "Brother Sutton, I'm ashamed. I'm ashamed of all the money I poured into that that'll never do anything for the cause of Christ." At that time in life, the United Methodist Church was the number one financial supporter of the Black Panthers. Anybody ever heard of the Black Panthers? They're not in existence anymore. Praise the Lord. They kind of got broke up. But not a good group of folk. And the United Methodist Church at one point was the number one supporter of those. And so Brother Beecham was ashamed of where he's at. And so just let me say that when you go to visit somewhere, when you move to some place, if there's not a good fundamental Baptist church there, then start one. Get authority from a church somewhere, preferably the one that you came from, and start a New Testament Baptist church. That's the way it ought to be done. And so we need to understand the importance of the doctrine of Christ. And then the second test, or the second trying method, is to listen to what the apostles of Christ had to say. Listen to the Word of God. God, in spite of what some people will try to tell you, because they'll tell you, God led me to do this, and it doesn't matter what it is, God led me to do this, and you know when you, as soon as you hear it, that that's contradicting the Word of God, then you know it wasn't the Spirit of Christ that led them to do that. Now, it may have been a spirit that led them to do it. I'm not saying that they're not saved. I'm not saying that they don't have the Holy Spirit of God in them. And if they are saved, they do have Him. But I'm saying when someone says God led them to do something and you know the Bible contradicts that, then you can know that they're not following the right spirit. Period. Amen. So do they listen to what the apostles had to say about Christ? Do they follow the Bible? Do they follow the Word of God? Verse number 6 reveals how we can distinguish between the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Those who truly know Christ listen to the truth. People who know Christ and want Christ's best in their life will listen to the truth. And when they listen, there's a connection, because the spirit of this book is equal to the spirit in their life if they're saved. And there's a connection, and they want to listen to it if their hearts are right with the Lord at all. In John chapter 17 and verse number 17, the Bible says, sanctify them by thy truth. Thy word is truth. And those who are not of God will reject the truth. Well, my Bible doesn't say that. I don't like that. That's not for me. That's old-fashioned. That was a long time ago. That was in another era. That was at another time. That was in another society. On and on and on the excuses go, when simply it's a matter of they don't want to hear the truth. Now, does the teaching of the church, does the teaching of this apostle, this prophet that's trying to drag you off somewhere, does the teaching of that prophet, preacher, whatever, does it match what the Bible has to say? If it doesn't match what the Bible has to say, my counsel would be run, because you're fixing on getting yourself in a jam. Jesus taught that to receive a person who was preaching the Word of God was to receive him and his Father. In John chapter 13 and verse number 20, the Bible says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that receiveth whomsoever I send receiveth me. He that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. Pardon me. And the Bible talks about the early church continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Acts chapter 2 and verse number 42. The Bible says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, breaking of bread, and in prayers. And then they recognized their words. The early churches, the early Christians recognized the words of the apostles, the words of the Word of God, what was going to become the Word of God, as the commandments of the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse number 37 says, if any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. And when you lay that on someone that believes in speaking in tongues where they can lose their salvation, they just almost fall apart, because it just doesn't match up. And so today, maybe you know someone that's going to a church they shouldn't go to. If that's the truth, then you need to, if you love them, if you think anything about them, if you respect them, then you ought to talk to them about that and just say, listen, does the church you're going to, does it make much of Jesus? Does it hold to the doctrine of Christ that Jesus really was and is the Son of God and God the Son, that He was born of a virgin, He came into the world for the express purpose, not to be our example, although He is. He came into the world to be a sacrifice for your sin and my sin. And that after He had paid that, He was examined for 33 years, He paid the price, was buried in a borrowed tomb, rose again 72 hours later, and then he ascended back to a place called heaven. He's coming again. Do they believe that? If they don't believe that and preach that and talk about that a lot, then you have no business wasting your time going there. And then the second thing is, what do they do with the Bible? What do they do with the Bible? Oh, well, we don't read that old book. That's, you know, that's archaic. That's old-fashioned. That's no good. Yeah, it's been a while. We need to be people of the book. And we need to be people helping people be people of the book. And so the apostle writes to us and says, beloved, he's not chewing them out. He loves them. He's concerned about them spiritually. He says, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. And then he tells us another word, and we'll finish with this. But I think it's God put this in here just so that we wouldn't get hoity-toity. So we wouldn't get high and mighty. So we wouldn't understand ourselves to be more spiritual than what we really are. He tells us in verse number 4, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them because. We need to think often of that because. We're not overcomers because we're rich. We're not overcomers because of the color of our skin. We're not overcomers because we're Republicans or Democrats. We're not overcomers because of where we live, on which side of the tracks. We're overcomers because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. And because he's greater than the one in the world, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us and gave himself for us. We've got no excuse not to be still serving the Lord when the trumpet sounds or our heart quits, whichever comes first, because of him. Not because of our education, not because of our vocation, not because of our location, but because of the Lord Jesus. And when we take doctrine and lay it beside Bible doctrine, they ought to agree. And when they don't, it's the doctrine that ought to be thrown away and the Bible doctrine maintained, lest we get ourselves in a jam. Let's look to the Lord in prayer.